Welcome to the Power of Love Radio with Lizzie Starr and Hazel Martin. Join us as we connect you with your loved ones in spirit and share spiritual guidance here on Blog Talk Radio. Call in to 646-787-1682 to chat with us and to receive a free mini reading. Connect with Lizzie, Hazel and our guests here on the Power of Love Radio. Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the Power of Love Radio with myself, Hazel Martin, and my beautiful co-host, Lizzie Starr. And Lizzie's going to be calling in just a minute or so. And today we're bringing you the topic, practice being kind, not right. And I'm really interested because Lizzie chose this topic today, and I know that she's got lots of lovely things to share as well as I have as well. So I'm just going to open up the microphone and welcome Lizzie to the show.
No.
Hi, darling. How are you?
Okay, you must have turned, or something's happened. There's no voice. Turn the power
there's
up on,
no
the, on the phone. Can you do
you
it?
You can't hear me?
Turn the,
Lizzie?
The power up on the phone.
The volume.
Yes, please.
Lizzie, I can hear you perfectly.
Hazel?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly.
No, I was just asking Sean. I couldn't hear the thing going on. I've asked him to turn this. Oh my goodness. Okay, so we're in.
I thought at first you were talking to me, and I'm like, oh, can you not hear me?
I couldn't even hear the lady say, welcome to Blog Talk. It was so quiet. But downstairs, on the big on the house phone, if you press a certain button, it goes, it takes the voice off the you know, goes silent. And I'm thinking, oh no, I must have touched the wrong button. It's just crazy life we have, right? But anyway, welcome everyone. It's nice to be here, even though I'm shadowed. I'm not going to say the other word. I hope you had a great, great weekend, and looking forward to the next week and weekend with you. And Hazel and I have decided on a beautiful topic for this evening, and we'll get into that in a little bit more. And Hazel is going to read the most beautiful story. She is the one that reads. The story is the most wonderful. So anyway, I was guided by Spirit to go to listen to. First, I was going to the Pleiadians, and I was listening there, and I didn't just connect. And so I just saw Dr. Wayne Dyer, and I've always been a fan. I think he's such a gentle soul. And I was listening, and it was coming close to the hour, and I thought I'll go look at who's, you know, sent a message to him, see what people think about what he's talking about, you know. And oh my goodness, the first one I came to just blew me out of the water. It was absolutely perfect, and it's something that Hazel has already done many times, and so have I. And Hazel has taught this in the Arthur Conan Doyle Center too, and she's had a big response with that one. And it's a beautiful way of living your life, I do believe. And he said a few little words that really got me. He said, be kind, not, what was that other word? Be kind, not right. Okay. But we always sometimes think we're right, and we'll argue the facts sometimes. You know, we're human. But it's only when you listen to people such as Dr. Wayne Dyer that you realize, you know, that, hey, sit back a little, be kinder. And you're not always right, you know. So I talk to myself when I hear these things, you know what I mean. And I read it out to my husband, and I said, remember when we first got together and I saw this shop, and I said to you, that's going to be our shop. And we hadn't got a penny to rub together to make two pennies at the time. And I said, and I'm going to call it A Touch of Class. Well, this was in the village close to where we lived. And it was a washing machine and drying machine where you take your washing, right? Mm-hmm. So I said to him, that's going to be ours. Take my word for it. He said, how do you know? I said, I have a vision. So anyway, I stuck to that vision and I wouldn't let it go. And I said, it's going to be called A Touch of Class. So anyway, weeks go by and weeks go by, and this shop's still a laundrette. So all of a sudden we went past one day and someone was taking all these washing machines out. And I said to Sean, there you go, look, someone's helping us out here. He said, I don't know where you keep getting this stuff from. He said, but we haven't got two pennies to rub together to spend on a shop. I said, no, just watch it. Anyway, the boards go up on this beautiful shop. And a few weeks later, down come the boards, and guess what it's called? A Touch of Class, exactly what I told Sean I was going to call it.
Wow.
So anyway, I said to him, I'm going to call it A Touch of Class. As those boards come down, and it was A Touch of Class, I don't know what was going through his mind, but he just stood there in amazement. I said, never mind. I said, I wasn't seeing it for them. I was seeing it for me. So 6 months later, this shop had gone bump. And they had made this shop into four separate rooms. And I was an interior designer, decorator. And so we were going to make drapes and coverings, you know, and all the things to do with carpets and everything else that you'd need in your home. And they turned it into the most beautiful four places because they had a business that was doing crown molding, you know, and Louis fire grates. It was super. So anyway, they went bump and it was up for sale or rent. So I said to Sean, I'm going to go down to the bank manager and see if he'll lend me the money. Sean said, we have nothing to, you know, collateral. I said, it doesn't matter. I said, I'm going to go anyway. So I goes down to the bank manager. I said, can you lend me the first month's rent? And he looks at me as if I'd just dropped out the moon. He said, what for? And I told him, he said, okay, I'll lend you the first month. So anyway, we get in there. We haven't got no money to buy fabrics or anything. So I calls up all the reps. Here comes all the fabrics. And then we open, and on the first day I made the rent. And from that day on, we never stopped making money. It was absolutely exactly how Spirit had given me that vision. And this is how I go through my life. I that's the way I see things, and it really does happen for me. And so when I was listening to Dr. Wayne Dyer, all these things that had happened to me throughout my life came rushing back to me. And I'm thinking, whoa, you know what? That's really cool. And the story was so, so beautiful. And sometimes my husband gets a little bit depressed because of the weather. He hates the weather. He loves the sunshine. He loves Florida and all that stuff. So I said to him, if you change your thought pattern and you think about what it is you truly want, that door's opening for you. Keep going on that, that pathway, and see where it gets you. So then it brings me back to your vision boards and all of this stuff, and I'm thinking, now what's Spirit trying to tell me? So over and over you hear, you know, there's a mess in the world, and it's getting worse and worse, but stay on your path. Just stay on your path. Have no fear. Stay on your path. Well, from last week to this one, with all those riots and all these things that's happening, it's just absolutely terrible. It's not about protest. It's not about protesting about a death. They're looting and they're doing all nasty stuff. And I'm thinking, that's not right. But then, you know, you get back to your path and you have to just stay where you are. So then I sent this beautiful, a comment of this young lady. And it really made me feel very, very humble, but very, I felt in a fantastic place for her. And I'm thinking, this needs to be told to so many people to give them hope and to stay on their path and help as many as possible and be kind, because we're not always right. But you know what? If we are kind and not always right, maybe we can change the world. And, they say, what one man can do, you know, what can we do? But yes, we can. We can listen and we can do what we're supposed to do. You know, kindness doesn't, you don't have to have $1,000 in the bank. You don't have to have anything in the bank if you don't want to be kind. You know, it's not about that. It's about being kind to your fellow man. We're all here on the same earth plane. And you know what? I saw a funny on the Facebook today, Hazel. It really tickled me. And there was an angel, and it was a cartoon sort of angel. And there was a big tablet in front of him. And how did you make out on Earth? And would you recommend it? And Sean said, no. But it was such a funny, I'm thinking, oh, everybody's got a sense of humour. But it is beautiful the way, you know. And I've listened to quite a number of speakers over the past few weeks that I would normally not have time for. I have made time, you know, I've been prompted by spirit. Go just sit and be quiet and just put this on, close your eyes and just go into a space. And you know what, Hazel, it really takes you on your own journey, where you've been, maybe where you've come from, where you're going, it doesn't matter. But also to be humble with what you have. You know, we all have to earn a living and we all have to get on with it, you know, but sometimes we need to share. And I've had such a lot of people call me this week that are really on the edge. They've had enough of life and they're only young as well. And I'm thinking, how may I help these children? Well, I call them children because they're not very old, but they might be 40 or 50, I don't know. But that, to me, is young. And I sit there and I try to put myself in their shoes, which is, you just can't do that. But you can at least attempt to try to understand where they're coming from. And some of them, they're so lost. They don't know where they're going and what they're here for. And they just need someone to be kind, if you will, and just listen to them and just try to help them. And that's all we can do. Do you agree, Hazel?
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely agree. And I love your story about the shop. And of course, I've seen your drapes and all the soft furnishings and things that you make. And excellent. It's neither wonder you made a success of that business, because they're absolutely stunning, beautiful. And I know that you're very popular even in the States, when you were over in the States still doing your spiritual work, but you're called on occasions to bring back your seamstress abilities and gifts to create some absolutely stunning curtains and drapes and what do you call the pelmets, and it's just amazing, absolutely incredible.
Swags and tails, that was my biggest thing, Hazel.
Swags and
tails,
that's what it's called.
You know, once, Hazel, we bought this beautiful home and we got carpet at the price you could, you know, wholesale. And there was a place where you could go buy tons of fabric at a very reasonable price. So Sean had said to me, because I like to have a carpet that's a cheaper one and then change it in 2 years and have a new look. But Sean was just about fed up with them. And he said, we're going to have a good carpet and we're going to keep it anyway. We decided to put the house up on for sale. So I got the carpet people to come down and fit me a real, very, you know, not cheap but not expensive carpet. I bought the curtain fabric for 50p a yard, and Sean came in and he went out and he looked at the door and he come back and he said, I am in the right house. How the hell did you put Swags tails and curtains up and have the carpet fitted while I was at work? And I did it. Did it. And then the first person who came to look at the house said, if you leave the drape, if you leave all these curtains and all these furnishings, I'll take it. And they did. So you see, sometimes you can help other people out just by, you know, giving them some curtains and some carpets. But that was beautiful. Yeah, we've had some fun, Hazel, haven't we? And when the first time you and I met, we went shopping. Oh, my goodness. I bet people have seen those pictures of us on the internet, trying the beautiful evening dresses by the side of us. That was a beautiful, beautiful day, wasn't it?
It was an amazing day, yes. Because I'd never been in that mall before. So it was wonderful to be, and I'm like, oh my God. And all these absolutely stunning evening dresses. And of course, we were talking about you going on tour at that point and doing your mediumship from platform and looking for different dresses and things that you would wear. So it was a really fun day. It really was. It was a wonderful day with you.
But you know what?
Nice memories.
What was better than that was we'd been on radio a few times and you were working yourself with another, I won't mention his name and blah, 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 where the spirit sent me to look after you. And I just thought, well, I wonder what state she's in. And so I said to her, Hazel, what are you doing? She said, I'm in Pompeii, in Florida. I said, oh, my God, Hazel, you're about 20 minutes from me. So Hazel and I didn't even stop to think about it. We just made a date and went shopping. It was fantastic. That was the biggest shock to me. I would never have thought it, you know. But at least we had the opportunity to meet and to enjoy each other's company for the day. And then as we were doing the other radio channel, what was it called? Almost Heaven, because Mr. Denver and I are great friends. Where was I going to go with that? See, I spoke about Mr. Denver. I'm off my track now. Oh, Spirit said to me, get Hazel working, because you two are two sisters brought together to make a difference. And I'm thinking, Hazel's going to think I'm off my rocker.
No,
yeah, it works, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely.
Yeah,
and I think it's just it's putting out that power of intention. You know, when your intention is so strong, it's like when I knew that I was coming to the States and I manifested so much for Greg and I. You know, he wanted a boat. I mean, he was just so determined that he wanted a pontoon boat. And I took a photograph of him sitting on top of one in dry dock and added it to my vision board. And then when I returned to the States, when we got married, he got himself a pontoon boat. So, you know, it was like all of these things. I mean, another thing that I put on my vision board was a black Jeep. Because that's the car that I'd had when I was here in the UK and when we were in France. And when I got back, Amy had a black Ford Explorer, but it was practically identical to the photograph that I put on my vision board. So, I mean, all of these things, you put that out there and it really does happen. And I love that you found this story on this show with Wayne Dyer, that somebody shared her experience. And I'm honoured to be able to read it out and to share it with our listeners as well. So shall I go ahead and...
go for it, Hazel. I think I've led up to that really beautiful with an explanation of why we've chose this this topic for this evening is be kind, and you're not always right. So you know what? Let's be a little bit more kinder. And from Mr. Wayne Dyer's hour-long speech, what he was doing for television, I just went and read... I know there's a few more coming. I just went and read a few of the comments, and the first comment is what Hazel is going to read out for you. It is very beautiful and very touching. Okay, Miss Hazel.
So I'm just going to pop you on mute, Lizzie, and I'll unmute you when we're finished. So this is actually was shared by the High Priestess, Connecting to the Realms, and she shared this wonderful story with the forum on Wayne Dyer's forum. And the story goes, Wayne, you're amazing. I have one of your earlier books, Real Magic, and let me tell you, it changed my life. I was renting a shabby old rundown unit. I literally sat on cushion-covered crates and had cracked windows from kids chucking rocks at them. I had no job, I'd been deserted by the father of my child, and was literally on rashers. Earlier, I bought Real Magic, but admittedly, it just sat in a drawer. I remember feeling so depressed that I sat bawling my eyes out. This is not the life I had planned I would have. I don't know why, but I walked over to the drawer and opened it. I had no reason to. It felt like I was on autopilot. There before me was your book. I took it out, held it in both hands and hugged it. This book's cover gave me instant hope. After all, what did I have to lose? As I read, I felt a shift in my emotions. I began to connect with each word and began putting into action the steps in applying the miracle mindset. I saw myself holding a check for $1.3 million. I had no idea at the time why I thought of that figure, but I just went with it. Every day I pictured that check in my hand, and then on the third day I wrote down how I would use this, buy a nice home. Not a house, a home. I used to love going for walks looking at all the historic homes in my neighbourhood. I remember how I would stop and admire the beautiful gardens and dark bricks and stained glass windows with thick black leading. I stood in front of a house and drew upon a vision of myself pushing the pram up the winding footpath to the home, seeing myself taking my beautiful daughter out of the pram and holding her on my hip as I put the key into the door, and saw myself step inside. I visualized a beautiful large dining room that led off to an L-shaped lounge room, and I pictured everything in minute detail. I was then startled by someone tapping me on my shoulder. It was a little old lady who smiled and said, "Hello, dear, can I help you?" I smiled and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I was just wishing." The lady who told me her name was Grace asked me what it was that I was wishing, and so I told her. I remember blushing, thinking that this woman must think I'm crazy. But Grace smiled and said that it was the loveliest thing she had ever heard and was eager to know more about this complete stranger before her. I told her how I wanted to create magic in my life and wanted to see myself in such a beautiful home someday. Grace told me then that this was her home and how she was blessed to have had so much happy memories with it. She then invited me to go inside. At first I hesitated, saying I didn't mean to impose, but Grace insisted I have a cup of tea and a biscuit. Bending down, smiling at my daughter, she said, "I'm sure you'd like a yummy chocolate biscuit and milk," to which my daughter squealed with a giggle and said, "Yes, please." Well, I pushed the pram up the winding footpath, took her out of the pram and carried her on my hip. We followed Grace into her beautiful home. I became a little weak-kneed as I stepped into a large dining room. Then adjacent was a large L-shaped lounge room. It was almost in the exact detail of my vision. We sat at a large oak dining table and Grace scuffled about her display cabinet, grabbing her finest china and a silver tray, and showed so much hospitality to two strangers in her home. Grace then brought over a teapot, and as I watched the steam rising from the spout, she casually said, "I'm an old woman. I know there's something special about you, and I love how you describe that what you're creating, that you're creating magic. So I'd like to ask you if you'd like to move in here." I said, "Oh, I just couldn't." She asked, "Why not?" I laughed and said, "I don't have an answer." "Are you sure?" Grace said, "I've never been more sure of anything in my life." She then went on to say how she'd never had children and no one to leave her home to, adding her husband was in a nursing home and she was lonely and was only asking God to bring her company, to bring her life back into her home. Grace added, "And here you are." And I said, "Here we are." I was taken aback. This woman knew nothing about me. I could have been a granny killer for all she knew, but she trusted me and that felt wonderful. That weekend we moved in and we lived there with Grace for around 14 months. In that time, Grace's dear husband passed away in the nursing home. I admired how strong Grace was. I felt a sense of obligation to help her with arrangements. It was the very least I could do for this lady that took us into her home and treated us like family. I finally got a job and Grace loved to watch my daughter as I went to work, working for a newspaper company I loved. One day, as I walked up to the home, I saw an ambulance in the driveway. I ran up and an ambulance officer was holding my daughter. I reached for her, checking her all over, and the officer asked if I lived there. "Yes," I replied. I then said, "Where's Grace?" She informed me that they'd just got there. Grace had had a heart attack and was going to the hospital. She asked if I were Grace's daughter, and I said, "No, I was her friend that we lived with her." Grace was in hospital for 2 weeks before passing away. I was devastated and didn't know what to do. The hospital gave me a number to call. It was Grace's doctor, who in turn gave me a number for her solicitor. I was worried as I'd never had to deal with a solicitor before, and I went into a panic. I called him up and he asked me to come in the next week, as he had paperwork he wanted me to sign for Grace. The whole weekend, all I could think of was how I missed Grace. My daughter was emotional, asking for Auntie Grace. I guess we were comforting each other. The following week at the solicitor's office, he sat me down and turned a bundle of paperwork around to me and asked me to sign each page. I asked, what is this? He then informed me that Grace had had him drop her will, and because she had no family, she saw me and my daughter as her family, and her request was that I be given her estate and everything in it. I never cried so much in my life. And then he said, "You're a very lucky lady. Grace's estate is worth $1.3 million. I almost fell off the chair. I can only say that real magic does happen. I went from a rundown unit with a cracked window to a gorgeous double dark brick home with a beautiful garden, and all because of Grace. So thank you and stay blessed. Karen.
Salute. Oh my God, Hazel, that was beautiful. It's even more beautiful when you hear it being spoken, you know, with someone else. It's like comes to life, doesn't it? It's it's really humbling, I tell you. What a great, great story. But then I always know about you with your vision boards and the way it goes, you know. And I remember you saying when you got back to Scotland and you lived with your sister for a while that you'd put that on your vision about you needed a beautiful place of your own. And you know what? You had it, didn't you? It just come exactly how you put it out there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I wrote down in my journal that I wanted a beautiful home in a really nice area of Edinburgh, because there are some not so nice areas. And of course, I was going through the council trying to get somewhere to stay, and I knew that whatever they offered me, this was probably going to be in some of the rundown estates. So I wrote out my journal and I said I wanted a home in a really nice area of Edinburgh, by water, which is important to me, to be by water, at an affordable rent and beautifully furnished. And lo and behold, it was only a matter of weeks later, and I was out with some friends. And the friend that I rent from, she lives in Spain, and she had was renting out her flat. And the thing is, Spurs had told me before I came back from the States, and they said, get in touch with Anna. And I argued with them. I should do. Yeah, I argue with my guides. And I said, no, I can't. I can't possibly, because I knew that Anna had a beautiful flat in Edinburgh, but at that time it was up by the castle. And I thought, I can't afford that. So I put the limitations on myself. So, as I say, we're out for drinks. And Sue had said to Anna, what are you doing with your flat, Anna, now that you're over in Spain? And she said, well, she said, I've been renting it out, but the person that's renting it is actually leaving in February, and I'm going to have to get somebody else to rent it. And, of course, I sat up, and Anna saw my body language. And you know, and then I sort of defeated, I sort of sat back down again. She said, what is it? And I said, no, I said, I couldn't afford it. And she said, well, Hazel, she said, how much could you afford? So I told her, and she said, you know, I could see the little cogs going around. And she's thinking to herself, you know, well, it's better to have somebody in my home that would love it as I do and look after it, and is, you know, that I know that I can trust. And she said, yes, she said, we could make that work. And I've been here for 4 years now. And it's in a beautiful area of Edinburgh. I mean, it's one of the best areas of Edinburgh. And I'm right on the Waters Leith. And it's beautifully furnished, and it has everything that I have. So, yes, I mean, it's a true manifesting story. But as I say, I have so many of the stories where I've manifested things by putting out that intention to the universe, and the universe has then brought that to me. So it's not that I'm doing the manifesting, but what I'm doing is being clear about what it is I want, and then the universe is answering it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. It's like, I keep going back to Dolores Cannon, when she said, and in her speech, she said, your guides are there to help you, but you have to ask them. If you ask them, they will help you and get what you need. You know, so it's like, in other words, you know, set your intentions very clearly, as you say, and make sure you stay there. It's easy to come off the path. It's easy to think, oh, it's never going to happen. And a lot of people who may be listening, you know, may be thinking, well, that's okay for you, Hazel. Like my husband said to me, it's okay for you, it's easy. I said, and it's very easy for you too. But, you know, this is life, isn't it? A lot of people who I've been trying to even teach meditation, it's very difficult for them, a lot of people, because it's like, I can't do it. So as soon as you say, I cannot do it, then you've put the body and mind in I cannot do it mode. So if you were to say, you know what, I'm finding this a little bit difficult and I'm not sort of getting where I need to be with it, but I'm going to continue. You know, that's what I would like to hear. But, you know, I can understand in a way, because when I was learning how to meditate, I'm one of these people who cannot sit still. I have to either get cleaning the house or doing something. You know, I never used to be able to sit still for 5 minutes. And that was difficult for me to do the meditation when I was younger. And with the kids, you know, you haven't got the time and you always make excuses. But it's when you put that intention there. Now, look at you, Hazel, and then look at me. I came into it at about 30 years of age, I think I was. I had it all my life, but then it started to go. And then you, in the States, took it right you grabbed hold of it, and you certainly did it. Did you do it before you went to the States, or did it open up while you was there?
And no, I just started to open up before I went to the States. It's really from when I was 30. Same as you.
There you go, see?
When I split up with my first husband, and I think that sort of gave me the freedom to then to become the person that I wanted to be at that time. So that's when I started doing more meditation, out of body. I was having out of body experiences. I was just really intrigued. But the thing is, it's like anything, and I think a lot of people do this as they're developing. Something happens and it scares you. And the very first time I ever woke up and realized that I was out of body, when I sort of came into that consciousness of realizing that I was actually looking at myself lying in bed, I was sort of at the top of the bed looking at myself lying in bed, and it scared the bejesus out of me. I pulled back. So I think these things happen, and it happens for a reason. Everything happens in the right time. And of course, many years later, I end up doing the astral projection course with Deborah King, which I love, and it's something that I want to be teaching as well. So all of these things, they come round at the right time. So I sort of dipped a toe in, and I was doing cards and things as well. And then, but as I say, when I came to the States, I'd actually started before, when I was still in France, I started on a course with Lisa Williams. And she was in America at the time. She just arrived in the States, and she started doing an online course. And I Googled to find a teacher, an online teacher. And I found Lisa, who's obviously from England, but she'd gone over to the States for Life Among the Dead and with and all the TV shows that she did. And that's when I got involved with the learning path at that point.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But as I said, I had been actually developing for many years before that. But it was
right.
But as I say, you come to it, then you pull back. You come to it, you pull back. But I know that I came back into it at the time that was right for me. And of course, having the support of Greg, it was just amazing, because he believed in me, and you believed in me as well. I mean, Greg,
from you. From day one, I remember doing the radio show, and I said, "Hazel, come on, pull a card." And you would just do one, and then I'd say, "Come on, let's do two or three." You started off and you went, and there was no stopping you after that, girl. It was like, I believed in you, because you know what? You know, when that people say, this doesn't come easy, you have to put the work in. And all I ever knew you to do was work on every subject that you could put your hands on. It was your passion. It was something that you really gave yourself to. That's how I did it when I was younger. It's like something holds you. It gets a hold of you, and it's like, you know what? This is very interesting. To begin with, it was very, very interesting to me. And I sit in amazement when I went to Stansted. I would sit in amazement at these mediums, what they did, and I'm thinking, this has got to be magic. Somehow it's magic, because there was one tutor on the stage, and she sent someone out right and closed the door, and then she read them from outside, and the person on the door was saying yes or no, blah blah blah. I'm thinking, she hasn't even got this lady's voice or face or whatever, and she's got it all bang on, you know. And I was just a young sort of rookie at that time. And then all the other things. And then when I did lessons, I'm thinking, there's no way I can do this. There's no way. We had to, in one lesson, we were all sitting on a seat, right? I think there's only 12 of us. They didn't do massive big classes. And the teacher just sent us out. Then she brought us back, and of course we didn't know where we sat. And she said, I want you all to sit in different places to where you were before. So we just plonked ourselves down more or less on the rows. I think we took up two of the front rows. So then she said, I want you now to tell me who sat in your seat and something about them. I'm thinking, she's mad. How can I do that, you know? It was like, this is for the movies, you know, this is not real. But you know what? You sit down, because you know you have to, because you're in this class and you don't want to look an idiot in front of everybody, you know. And you sit down, and you know what, Hazel? I could feel the vibration, and I just had these words popping through my head, and it was going through, and I'm thinking, whoa, this is magic, you know, it's fantastic. And from that day, I was just hooked, because I didn't think I could. See, there was the doubt in me, and I should not have had the doubt. But it was scary also, because I was with all these other people who seemed to be at a level higher than me. You know what I mean? They knew the ropes, and I didn't. So it was quite an accomplishment. When I went back home, I said to Sean, the teacher said I was good. You know, but I was all excited, because it was absolutely thrilling, the lessons. And then, of course, before you go home, after you've done your stuff, they put you on a demonstration. And those demonstrations blow your mind away. I remember there was one gentleman who was a monk, and he said to a lady on the front row something, and she kept saying no. He said, look, lady, if you don't tell me this is real, he said, because I know your husband's sitting there and some things are very private. He said, but I will tell him how much you've got in the bank if you do not tell me, blah, blah. He told her the number of her door. He even gave her, Hazel, it was absolutely incredible, her phone number. Absolutely perfect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was incredible. It just blew my mind, and I'm thinking. And so the lady said, well, yes, yes, and yes, you know, because he did not want to look a fool in front of a massive audience, I guess. But he was on that money like you wouldn't believe. And there's a lot of mediums could give the telephone numbers out, you know, that especially like Janet Parker, like I was telling you. We sat in circle with Janet, and there must have been 50 people. And she went round each one and asked us our names. Then when we'd finished the circle, she came back and started at number one and said everybody's name, as if she'd just remembered each and every one. Everyone. Absolutely perfect. There's some fantastic mediums out there, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, there are. And I love Janet. I love the way that she works as well. So it's I just don't know how they do it. Lisa Williams did the same thing. She was doing a demonstration of trance. And but before the demonstration started, she sat in a trance state and did a message for every single person that was in the room. And, of course, we'd all been on the course with her over the weekend, so she had learned all the names. But there was actually a couple of people there who weren't part of the course that had come along because they'd travelled up with the one girl came up with her sister who was taking the course. And she got all the names right. Because, of course, it's from spirit. It's just pure from spirit. And
absolutely.
The messages were from spirit. And I was like, wow, that is just amazing. It is incredible.
I think it's something like that inspires you to not give up, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And to continue to learn as well, to keep developing. You know, the thing of, you know, it's always, it's pushing yourself. So, you know, for people who are out there who are maybe new to mediumship, it's about pushing yourself for the next thing, you know, to get that little bit more information, to get that connection, what is the relationship, asking for a name, asking for something else, another piece of evidence, something about their life, that they'll be able to validate that it is their loved one that's there. So, but I love the topic that you chose today about practice being kind, not right, because I think in this environment that we're living in, it's so easy for people to say, oh, well, I am right and that's it, and they sort of dig their heels in, and instead of practicing kindness and just, you know, maybe at times like backing off and saying, okay, is this really necessary, is this kind? So I really love that you brought that forward as well, and this is the story that you shared. Of course, Wayne, of course, is in heaven, he's in spirit, and I know looking down at us and approving of everything that we're doing today, because it's keeping his memory alive as well. But the number of books that he's got out there. So if you haven't already explored the wonderful library of Wayne Dyer, then please do go and check out all of his books, and this one in particular. What was it called again? The one that she was there.
Something about magic. Yeah, I'm looking that one up, because when I was listening to him, it's as if he was talking to me, and he's so funny sometimes, you know, and he really is a fact. And I didn't realize that he was an orphan at one time or something like this, and he was going through his life, and I'm thinking, he's so humble, but his life at the beginning put him where he was now, because he went through all of that and he became a better person for it, you know. And he talks about his children and how wonderful they are, and his wife. And it was just as beautiful. Like I said, I was guided to him. And I think when I was guided to him, I was looking for a topic for the radio show, because each Sunday Hazel will shoot me a little note and say, do you know if we have a topic? Is there anything you want to talk about? And it was a Sunday, and I'm thinking, I'm just going to go. I got guided there. But Hazel, more than listening to him, that message blew me away. You know, it was absolutely perfect for the times we're in. And it does show you that if you put your intention forward, you know, no ego, you know, be kind to yourself as well. And things can happen for you. It truly can happen for you. And Bob put something up there, and I'm going to steal it. I don't know what he said, but I think it's beautiful. What did you say, Bob? I'm looking for it. Intention, attention, manifestation. Don't you think that's wonderful? And so you can pick something up from everywhere. So I'm going to write that down, because that's wonderful. So if you have the intention, give it your attention, and then get that manifestation, equals that manifestation. So I think that's wonderful as well. But thank you for reading that beautiful letter out, Hazel. It was even more poignant when you read it than when I read it for myself. You know, it was as if you were the young lady, you know, and this is what you had written. So it was beautiful. So I just say thank you to Mr. Wayne Dyer for guiding me to that beautiful Sunday speech, what he was giving out on television, and for Spirit to guide us to that beautiful story to help people who are probably feeling a little bit down, or, you know, they don't think anything's good that ever going to happen for them. Well, guess what? It surely can. So thank you, Hazel. That was beautiful.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Lizzie. So we are going to come to the phone lines. We're going to have a little break first, a little bit of music. And there's actually a couple of questions in chat as well. Sue wrote something, and so did Maureen. So I don't know if you want to do that before we go for a break, or if you want to do it when we come back.
We're on 44 minutes, so we've done nearly, I think that'll take me to the hour. So we'll have a little break, and we'll come back, and we'll do that one.
Okay, wonderful. So okay. As I say, we're back after a little piece of music. I'm going to play Survive by Randy Wilcox. I'm drawn to this on the switchboard. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to the Power of Love Radio with myself, April Martin, and my beautiful host, Lizzie Starr. And I love that song, I'll Survive. And it's like, the words were just so right for today's topic as well. And of course, Randy's music is just so lovely that it's a blessing that he allows us to share it, that we can share copyright-free music as well on the show. So welcome back, Lizzie. Did you enjoy that song?
Thank you, thank you. That was a beautiful, beautiful song, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. So did you get a chance to see the comments in the chat from Sue and Maureen?
I did. So go ahead. She's asking you a question.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
Okay.
Okay, so, go for it.
Sue's put in, ladies, I had an interesting vision while getting your healing. I had a white dragon show up next to me to help with the healing I needed. It was so real. It merged with me and I could feel the pain shoot right out of the acupuncture needles and she felt so much better. So do you have any comments about that, Lizzie? It's not really a question as such. I think she's just telling us what she experienced. But have you ever had acupuncture?
No, never. I don't like needles. I know somebody who did and wanted to do it for me, but I go inward for healing myself. So it's very interesting for me to hear all of this because I've done healing where I have seen the angels do work and things like this, but never a white dragon. So I'm very interested. So go for it. What did you get, Hazel? I sort of do inward healing with me, and when I'm doing healing for other people, I do see but I've never seen a white dragon. Have you?
I've never seen a white dragon, but I have had acupuncture. And I do know the sensation of the pain being drawn up and through the needles and feeling that being drawn out. But equally with spiritual healing as well, when when I'm doing healing, I can feel the pain being drawn out of the person. And it's almost like it comes into me and then passes through me and then goes and it's dissipated and it goes beyond. It's not my pain to hold on to, so it just goes on and goes beyond. And, of course, healing comes from the universe, so it's not me that's giving the healing energy. Like, as any healer will tell you, it comes from the universe. So we're the conduits for it. But that's fascinating, Sue. It's lovely to see that. And Maureen said she found symbolism. On Dragon Online, and in the Orient, it symbolizes supernatural powers, wisdom, strength, and hidden knowledge. In most traditions, it's the embodiment of chaos and untamed nature. So she's just responding to Sue when she's talking about the healing, and they're talking about Chinese astrology as well. I think they actually worked out that
I love Chinese astrology. It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I just wanted to bring attention to the. It's lovely to see the chat as well, and the energy that everybody shares in the chat room. So thank you for sharing that.
I think Sue had to go through this. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because she's a healer herself as well. But I think she had to go through this to be on a different level because I told her, I think last week or a week ago or something, that the spirit said she was moving in a new direction, and I think mm-hmm. that this lady's got so much power. It's just pinning her down to use it, you know what I mean. But she's got things to do, I know that, and she's a wonderful, wonderful lady. She's got so many talents at her fingertips, you know. But going through that, I do believe that spirit will, like we've said before, put you in the right place at the right time for your benefit, if you will. And I bet that really benefited Sue in more ways than just the pain, you know. Mm-hmm. She said she loves acupuncture. I do not feel pricking, very gentle. The meridian energy is moving acupuncture. I'll have to try it one day, I guess. My husband's mm-hmm. had it, and he said he couldn't feel any pain whatsoever when the needle's going, you know what I mean? But
no, you don't.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. But I've never done that. But, ladies, I might give that a try and see what happens. But Sue is a very wonderful, very wonderful lady. And when she does definitely get out there and do that stuff, she'll make a big difference in the world, you know. So you go, Sue. And then Maureen, yes. And Maureen seems to be coming more into that too as well. Isn't it wonderful when we see something, then you explore it, and then it gives you a little bit more, expansion of your mind, I'm going to call it. Because when you get something like that, it does expand your mind, and it's like, whoa, you know, and then you want to look at something else. So you click the button next to it and you think, I'll try a little bit more of that. And the energy that comes through off of all of that knowledge is, it just does you so much good, the energy. You feel that goodness, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
It's incredible, the energy. So if anybody wants to call in, the call-in number is 646-787-1682. And remember to press 1 to put your hand up to get into the caller's queue. We've got somebody actually who was on the line for a little while, 206. You don't have your hand up, so I don't know whether to come to you or not. So press 1 if you want us to take your call, and you'll be in with a shout there. So we've got a few people on the queue already. But some people just call in to listen. That's fine. That's allowed too. If you do want to connect with Lizzie and I, then Lizzie's website is heavenlystarjewel.com. So please do check out her website for lovely jewellery and also for readings as well. So I know that you're off the charts busy right now, Lizzie. But you know what they say, if you want something done, ask a busy person. and if you want to connect with me, my website is hazelmartian.com. So again, just go over to hazelmartian.com if you want a reading or if you want to check out my jewellery as well. And of course, you can find us on Facebook at The Power of Love Radio. So please do check all that out. Are you ready to go to the phone lines, Lizzie, to be of service?
Absolutely. Let's go for it. Yep.
Wonderful. So I'm going to come first of all to 519. 519, you're live on air with Lizzie and Hazel.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
What's your name, please?
Shelley Canty.
Sorry, say again, please.
Shelley Canty.
Sally. Yes, I can hear you perfectly. It's fine, Sally. And it just broke up a little bit there. So what can we do for you, Sally?
I'd like to talk to my dad if I could.
Okay, where's your dad? I'm just
he's
calling
at,
him, sorry.
Lizzie.
I know he is. When you have, you know, when you can do a little funny like that, it raises a vibration for you, you know. And I guess your dad's been waiting for a while. So I'm just going to ask Hazel if she's picking up. You know, let me first ask you, did your dad have a sense of humor?
Yes, very good sense of humor.
Yeah, because that's why I come in with that funny, I think, because he's attacking me. It's so funny. Oh, Hazel, you'll have to take over this guy. You know, did he play poker or something? Was he a, oh, my God. Did he love to gamble?
Yeah, we used to play poker all the time.
Okay, he's playing poker with me now, so... Oh, God. Okay, Hazel, go for it. See if you can bring some fun
here. You've got that there.
He's a beautiful, beautiful spirit, yeah. Let me just ask this lady, was he a successful young man?
Was he successful?
Yes.
Yeah, he worked hard.
Yeah, he was successful in his own way, he's telling me. Such a beautiful gentleman. Really, he had his feet on the ground. You miss him. You talk to him, he said. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And you talk to him an awful lot, don't you?
I do, yes.
Absolutely. It's as if, you know, your dad and you had a very tight relationship. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we did. Later on in life, not so much when we were younger.
Does the October month mean anything? Hold on to it because he's given me October, right? October. Do you have a son?
I have three sons. Yeah. My husband was born in October.
There you go, darling. Okay. He's laughing. He said she's a card, isn't she, Elizabeth? I said, yeah, absolutely. Okay, your dad's telling me there's either been some sudden changes with you or there's going to be. Which way do I want to go, darling?
Maybe he's going to be.
Okay, and it's all good, but you need to listen instead of, how can I say? He's telling me listen a little bit more. Who has this J name, darling? Is there a John or a Jimmy, Jennifer? I have two J's now.
Yeah. Jennifer. Well, I have all my sons' names are J's, my husband.
Yeah, I've got, you wrote two on the pad here, then I'm having another two over here. So is that acknowledging that this is your children, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so now you know we have your dad. Who is it in the family that loves the ocean?
My son, Justin.
Justin, okay. Is he like your dad?
Yep.
Absolutely. Your dad's really connecting with him. Does that make, not that he's favoring him, he's being really serious here, but he connects with him. Does that make sense to you?
Yep.
And also, darling, I know that you're Sally, but Sally, is there another S name?
No, it's Shelley, not Sally. Shelley.
Okay, whatever. Is there another one?
Another S name? No.
S. Well, he's just writing a big one on my pad. Okay. But he's telling me, use your voice. You know, your voice is your power. Use it wisely, he said. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh, and is there a birthday coming up?
Whose birthday?
Is there a birthday coming up, darling, in the next few weeks?
No.
Or like, no? There's a birthday somewhere,
no.
He's telling me. Okay, because there's a celebration. So he's giving me that celebration that there's either a birthday, death, or wedding anniversary somewhere around you. But your father is a very, very beautiful soul. He's a very jolly man. And he's coming through on that premise here. He is gorgeous. But are you going through, how can I put this? Are you stressing?
Not really, but I guess I do feel a little stressed, yeah. I don't know what about, though.
I know, but are you the sort of person that worries and you stress over the least little thing?
Yes.
There you go. That's what he's talking about. He said, stop it. You know, it doesn't do you any good. Stop it,
right.
You know, because it's as if you've got all your ducks in a row. You've got a great family there, but it's like, why do you have to worry and stress about the least little thing, he's telling me, right?
Right. Yeah.
Play poker. He's a beautiful soul. Where's your mum, darling? Is she still here?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Sends love here. And you know what? Are you sure there's not a birthday or something in the June month? Because I've just had another J here. A bit to do
yeah.
With
no.
Time.
No.
Okay.
Nothing in June.
Okay, darling. He keeps giving me that, so I'll just give it to myself, pass that on, so I've done my job with him. Okay. Okay. Is there something specific you wanted from your dad?
Just to speak with him.
Is there somebody military in your family, darling?
No.
I have the military. I might be moving on then. So I've got that really big with okay. I think I'm moving on. Hazel, would you like to add to it, darling?
Yeah, certainly. I'm feeling, Sally, that there's a new baby coming. So I don't know, is one of your son's partners pregnant just now?
I hope not.
You hope not? Okay.
I think it's probably that celebration.
celebration. Maybe
they're way too young.
They're not old. If they're not old enough, then it's fine because you want them to get some maturity about them first before they get to that point. But I don't know. It's just almost like I'm seeing it's like a grand. Because I'm just seeing this, and I don't know if this is Dad just saying that that's the intention is out there to have grandchildren at some point, and he's saying this is coming. So you know, don't stress about it. It's coming. It's going to happen. But it happens in the right time. But just when the time is right, because as you say, there's things that have got to settle first. I don't know. You're saying they're way too young, but I'm seeing a teenager. Does give me a teenager, so I don't know. Was it 19?
No, I do have one that the one that is 20. Man, he's been with the same girl for a long time, so it could be possible.
Right. So he's just out of his teens then. It's almost like, but he's still a teenager. He's still got that very youthful because he's got a lot of life to live. A lot of experience still to have before he gets to that point of being able to then have the responsibilities of parenthood. But yes, there is a stable relationship with him. So I don't know if this is something that just be aware of it, you know. And you know what? If there happens to be a little accident and it happens, then I know that you're going to be there to support him and his girl as well. You know, that you'll absolutely be there to support them through this. So it's just like a little, almost like a heads up that Dad's coming forward, a little head up. As Lizzie was talking with you, I heard the name George. Now, this might not necessarily be Dad, but somebody connected to Dad. Would you understand the name George?
No, George doesn't,
okay.
No.
Okay, it came through quite strongly. So, again, just hold on to that one, and it might be something that's still... And if it's something that comes into your awareness after you've spoken with Lydian, that's actually the best evidence you can get, because it may not come psychically from you, because it's not in your energy, if you understand what I'm saying.
Okay.
So just hold on to that, because I do feel it's maybe something that's around him rather than... That it's not about him, it's about somebody around him. So I don't know whether this is, again, maybe somebody that's coming forward. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I mean, Lydia's right, he does have a really good sense of humour. But it's almost like he'd crack a joke to diffuse the tension. And at times there was a bit of tension in life. So Mum's still here, though, isn't she? You've still got Mum.
Yes.
And I'm feeling that how would I put this? At times they could be like little argy-baggies, and it's almost like he would crack a joke to relieve it. He would try to jolly her along. But is Mum more the kind of person that would take the huff? Would you understand this?
Sorry, say that.
Take the huff. It's it would go in a like a mood. Would Mum go in a mood if your dad did something wrong?
Yeah, she would.
Like,
yeah.
Not talk to him.
Yeah,
he's just got this thing of, your mum's obviously the arms are crossed, and she's just like, don't talk to me, just don't talk to me, and that's when his humour would come out, because he would kind of tease her and jolly her along, and then before she knew it, she had a smile on her face, because she couldn't stay mad at him for long.
No,
that's
not
his personality. No, I mean, she was there. But these are the lovely things you should be talking to Mum about, you know, remembering all these lovely little incidents and memories that you have of Dad. And you do talk about them, he's saying. He says you do have these little get-togethers when you're talking with Mum and you're remembering all the stories. But of course, Mum's got so many more stories as well. And it's but you.
She does.
Have you thought about writing them down? You're taking little notes of them to pass on to the grandchildren? Because it's our memories play tricks on us. Just the same thing as when you get the photographs out, and we talk about putting a name in the back of the photograph so you know who the persons are. So in future generations they'll be able to look at. But it's just these lovely little stories that Mum's got of her time with Dad, and this is even before you came along. Do you have a brother? Because I'm just hearing brother.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, he wants to be acknowledged and remembered to your brother. And to the family, it's just not picking out your brother. I think right now it's like almost like your brother misses him.
Yeah, a lot.
There's something going on in his life, and he's really at this point in time finding it quite hard. So if you could pass on love to your brother, then to say it's not that he's showing favourites, he's saying he never did show favourites, but he knows that your brother's needing that little boost just now. So if you can, then pass his love on.
Okay.
And as I say, a lovely gentleman, and he is a gentleman, and that's what he's giving me the feel. He's it's like, you know when you're walking down the street and the man goes to the outside, you're just to protect from the pavement from the side. That's what your dad's like. He just put himself on the outside, and of course that goes back to the days of chivalry when it was like the gentlemen were keeping their sword hand free so that they could then defend the lady. But he's very much of that ilk of opening doors and pulling out seats and just being a real gentleman. And he said that's how he got brother up to be, and that was also that instilled that in you, that that's how you should be treated as well. So I feel that there's times where you've not been treated as well as you should. But it's just that, but this is that's not for radio, that's not for on air. So it's just keep your chin up, darling, and just, as I said, talk with him, and because he hears you, so please keep talking with him.
Okay, I will for sure.
Thank you so much, and thank you for calling in and connecting with us, Sally. It's really lovely to read for you, and thank you for allowing us to connect with your dad.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it.
God bless.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Right. You all right there, Lizzie?
I'm still talking to him.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. What a great lady. You know, when he first came on, he said, I don't know where I got that from with the first little bit. I could have laughed my head off at him. He was so funny, Hazel. He's a beautiful spirit and soul. But then he was playing poker with me, and I'm thinking, I don't know how to play poker, darling. I'll teach you, he said. Oh, good grief. It's beautiful.
So nice. That's so nice. So we're going to carry on with the phone lines, and we're going to come to 206 because she's put her hand up now. Hello. The switchboard will play with me. Hi there. You're unmuted. What's your name, please?
My name is Karen.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Well, you're welcome. I mean, you called in way before the show started, and then I just saw that you hadn't put your hand up, and I thought, well, are you just listening? And then, of course, when I put that out there, you put your hand up, so thank you for that. What can we do for you?
Well, I have a small business, and my business has been closed with the COVID problems here. I live in the state of Washington. I'm actually a friend of Maureen that you were talking about, Maureen McGill.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
But, yes, but I'm... You know, we're in a situation where I can slowly begin to open my business, but it's very complicated, and I'm worried about that. I'm concerned about the timing. Maybe you could help me to understand better how I need to go about this or assure me I'm protected. I just don't quite know if I'm doing the right thing, I guess, in some regards. I'm just trying hard, and it feels difficult.
I'm just going to jump in here, Hazel. Young lady, is your mum in spirit world?
Yes.
Okay. She's telling me to tell you there's some good news on its way to you. I wanted to burst straight in, but I'll let you talk. she's a beautiful soul, too. Did you get on with your mum?
Yes.
Okay. Well, she's sort of flying towards you as if to say, will you tell her to stop the worry, because that's what she's giving the body, the worry and the stress and all of that, although she understands the stressful times we're going through, and that's okay. But you know what? And she's telling me you've been pulling your hair out your head, right? And it's like she's... Does that make sense?
Well, it's a figure of speech. I'm not literally pulling my hair out, but yes, that's a good figure of speech.
Yeah. Well, that's how it comes, yeah. She's been pulling her hair out of her head, Elizabeth, with worry. Okay. Your mum said you're going through a storm, as we all are. But the storm is dissipating, and we're moving into smoother waters. So she wants you to be calmer and just let things flow. If you... put out the energy, as we've been talking about, the, you know, the manifestation and stuff like this. So see your business open. See your business doing well, slowly but surely, is what your mum said, okay? And it's like things mm-hmm. will start to happen for you. But if you put up all these what we call blocks, which is what you're doing right now, then we have to get through all of those blocks before we can give you all this good news, because it truly is coming your way, okay? Your mum is a beautiful mm-hmm. soul, and she's a hard-working woman, or was. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, darling. Is there anybody medical in your family, or is there anyone with a medical
yes.
problem? Is
yes,
it a medical problem or medical?
Admitted. Well, both, but my brother was just admitted to the hospital.
Yeah, your mum's talking about that, darling, and... everybody seems to be on tender hooks. Do you understand? It's like, oh, my goodness, what's this, what's this, what's this? Okay. But your mum said, once again, just take it easy, right? You know your brother, mm-hmm. does he have heart problems also? Is there a heart problem with him?
He does. That's not what he went in for as a symptom.
No, I know that. But your mum's pointing to, I'm feeling a pain in my heart. So that directs me to the heart problem. So thank you for that. So your mum's, I'm just talking with your mum. Your mum said what's happening with you and so many people is, it's as if if you imagine a building and we're taking down one brick at a time, and we get to the foundation. Your foundation is very strong, so now we have to build that foundation back up again. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
So you are
yes.
doing the right thing, but listen to your mum's words slowly and surely. right? Because that the good news is on its way to you. There's somebody else here too. There's a gentleman in spirit world. I don't think it could be your dad, but it could be an uncle or someone because he's younger. Do you understand?
Yes.
Do you have an uncle in spirit world?
I have many uncles. I also have the love of my life is in the spirit world now.
Yeah, younger, right?
Well, younger.
Yeah.
He would be 70 now.
Yeah, but did he pass when he was younger? Like he was. How old was he when he passed over? Let me put it this way. You don't have to answer that. He's telling me he had a young spirit. Does that make sense?
Yes. Oh, yes.
And he's sending you the greatest, greatest love, darling. And we come, like with that lady, he's giving me the June month. Does this mean anything to you? And who has the M initial,
yes,
sweetie? And I have an L initial.
The initials don't make sense, but June was the month we met. And we were together,
okay,
for almost 44 years.
Absolutely. He's sending you great love, darling. Absolutely great love. He also gives me the February month. Does that make sense to you? Now, this M.
No.
I'm sure he's telling me there is an M, and you will find it. I don't know about the L initial. I want to say Linda or Louis, something like this. But is also, you know, this love of your life is such a beautiful soul, you know. He's young and vibrant,
yes,
to me. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Full of life always. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And okay. He has a dog with him. Did he have a dog? Did you have a dog?
No. We had cats.
There's a dog with. No, he's got this dog. He hasn't come with a cat. He's come with a dog. Okay, but he's got this dog here. Also, do you live by the water?
Oh, I do know a dog. Yes, I do know
Thank
a dog
you.
He loved. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I couldn't change the dog to a cat, darling, and I have to go with what I'm given. Okay. do you live by the water?
Yes.
This young man was I want to say, when I see water, you either live by it or I'm linking in with your gentleman, but he's got like a very emotional self. Does that make sense? A sensitive self.
Yes.
Okay, darling, thank you. And we have another J initial coming with him too somewhere. Does that connect with you or him? Like is there a John or a Jimmy or Janet? I'm trying to open up your mind here to the J initial.
Mm. I don't know a J.
Okay, listen, always hold on to what I've given you because 5 minutes later, you're going to be knowing who it is, what it means.
Yes.
There's adventures and a new lease of life for you, he said. And he shows me a card. I'm trying to see what this card is. And I don't know if you're holding on to a birthday card, some sort of card that he left or wrote on that you keep going back to. Would that make any sense to you?
Yes.
He's referencing that. He's telling me he's right with you. At all times, he's with you. And he's really, really coming through, very gentle. He tells me he kisses you goodnight, and he's waiting there when you wake up in the morning. So he's with you. He's very close, and he's sending you the greatest love. I need a D name now. Is there a Danny or a Doug or a David? I'll just write that down a minute. I have to write and scribble down everything. Okay. This
was
the love of your life.
He has a nephew, Danny.
A Danny, okay. You have a nephew, Danny?
Oh, he also has a brother-in-law. His nephew's father is Dan. That would be his brother-in-law.
Okay, thank you. He's just referencing all those for you, so you know very well he's with you. Okay, darling, so the message for you, and I'm going to give you to Hazel in a minute, is your mum said, you know, just take it easy, go with the flow, do not put your energy into the worry because you'll make the wrong mistakes and the fear will put you in a different way. So just go with the flow. But I'm going to give you Hazel. I'm sure she's picking something up with your mum and your husband and all this beautiful stuff over here. And thank you for calling. Hazel?
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, Lizzie.
Thank you, Lizzie. Oh, Karen, I mean, my heart goes out to you because, you know, my husband's also in spirit. And when you lose somebody that's that close, you never get over it. you just learn to live with it. And it's almost like, you know, there'll be times when you're sort of going about your day and then you think that you've forgotten about him, but you haven't. It's just there. It's always there under the surface. But it's like he wants you to continue with your life because he's just a thought away. You know, he literally is just a thought away, that he's with you and connecting with you and helping you in the struggles that you're going through just now. As he's coming forward as well, and you were talking about your business, I was feeling from him that it's almost like you don't rush things. Don't rush to get it all up and running again, because there is support there for you. Now, I don't know if this is the form of a loan that you could get or some sort of something to tide you over while the business has been shut down because of the lockdown. But it's almost like there's help there, and I'm feeling this is from the bank. So it is not from a person, it's actually from an institution. So it's like going to the bank and saying, oh, look, this is the situation we're in. Can you give us either a stay on loans or whatever it was, or to give you a loan, or to give you some sort of financial help. And it is there for you. I don't know, there's like stimulus money. I know in the States you've got stimulus grants that are being given out. So you're not taking charity. This is something that is being there to help to keep the economy going. So don't be embarrassed or afraid to ask for help. And he's saying that he's going to be with you as you're going through this. Now, I'm not being very clear about what it is that your business is, but is this some kind of a shop? This is when we were talking about Lucy's shop earlier, because that's coming to mind.
I have a small business location, but I work individually with people on their movement.
Right, okay, but
and...
but have you got like a premises that's got like a big plate glass window?
It has a big window, but no, it doesn't have a storefront exposure. It's in a
It's in a business office, because it's just got this big glass window, and there's writing on the window as he's showing it to me. So I don't know whether you've had something put onto it of the business of what you do or whatever. But it's about getting the marketing back up. Okay, thank you. That's where he's going with us. It's about getting the marketing back up so that you can really put yourself out there as like, okay, I am now opening back up for business, and then your customers will come to you, your clients, sorry, opportunity that your clients will come back to you, because they've just been waiting as well a little bit on tenterhooks of everything that's been going on. But just know that the money is still there, that people still have the resources, because what you provide for them, they need. So it's have the confidence in what you're doing and the way you're going forward, but there's no rush. What I'm hearing is there's no rush to get it all up and running now. It's not like you have to start and just all of a sudden you're back to where you were 3 months ago, because that's not going to be the situation. It's about taking your time with it. I am feeling, and I know that we're already in the month of June, but this month, the month of June, is going to be significant. So I don't know whether this is when you're going to start getting things together. But there's also, is there a birthday in June as well? Have you got a birthday coming up? I don't know. Because they're talking about June as being significant. So,
June is significant in that that's when I met the man in my life that you were talking about. That's our anniversary of meeting.
So that's your anniversary. Thank you. Thank you for that, because it's not just about the June being significant for getting things back on track, but he's given me that it was a celebration as well. So I went birthday, but it's not the same celebration. So that would be the anniversary. And all these anniversaries and things are... Okay. Have you got a rose that you dried? Because when you press the flowers... I've just been given
I'm sorry, I don't understand. I didn't understand what you're asking me.
About it's a pressed flower, and I feel it's a rose. And it's been pressed between pages.
Okay, I did find a little flower in a book that he had pressed. It was not a rose. It was
a very tiny
flower.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm wrong with the rose, and I'm seeing a pressed flower. And he's given me this, and it's like, and that was something that he pressed in a book. So he's given me this as evidence. This is that he pressed this flower, and you found it. So, and he's really glad that you found it. I actually feel there might be more than one. That there might be others in other books that you will come across. And it's almost like little reminders, like it's like kisses from heaven. That he's sending you these kisses from heaven. Actually, when he tells me kisses, I'm going now to Hershey kisses. Was this again something that was significant for you, the chocolate Hershey's, your little kisses that you get at Valentine's?
You mean the little Hershey kiss? No.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Again, hold on to that one. Because when I say, I've heard kisses from heaven, and then I was just got the picture of the Hershey kisses. And, of course, it's like a little gift. It's like little gifts off my heart. And I think this is what he would do. He would give you little gifts. And it'd be like small things. It didn't have to be extravagant. It didn't have to be big things. And it's little gifts off my heart. So just watch out and see and check out the books as well, just because I do feel that there are other pressed flowers as well, and they have significance. So it's a beautiful gift from him. But as I say, just you're taking your time just now. Look at this as being a time for you to really regenerate yourself. So it's not that you're, as I say, keep saying, it's not, you're not stuck at home. You're safe at home. And this is a time for getting all the paperwork done, doing your taxes, doing all the boring stuff that you've that normally you just don't have time for, but you've been given the time to really get yourself ahead with this. And then when you're ready to start up and have that back again, then the business is absolutely going to be there waiting for you. Your clients are going to be there waiting for you. It's about keeping in contact. So I don't know if you have an email list with them. So dropping an email to a general email to everybody, through some sort of where you're not obviously giving out all the emails, but doing it like a mail drop just to say, how are you getting on? How are you coping? You're engaging with your clients, so that
I do stay connected. I talk by phone to them quite a lot, and sometimes texting. Some of my clients like to text, so. Thank you for that, because I've been thinking I should put together an email list.
And that's what you, and again, you've got the time just now to do it. So go on to something like MailChimp or one of those ones where you can set your mailing list and do a nice chatty newsletter about what's going on and what your plans are, so that people are ready for you coming back as well. And it's wonderful that you're keeping in touch with them. And it's about keeping your energy up as well, keeping your strength up and keeping your energy up. But you have so many of, as is your uncles and your mum, and the love of your life. They're very much around you in spirit, and very connected with you.
Thank you. I do feel them. I feel their help.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. You need to be writing something. I don't know if have you started a book and you haven't finished it, but you need to finish something off. Does that make sense to you?
Well, could this have this to do with my business?
It quite possibly could be. It could be that there's something that you've been putting off and you've not finished it. And Mum's saying, get it done. In the kindest way. But it's almost like, before you get everything sorted and what have you, it's like you put out the trash. And this is the thing, it's like clearing the way, clearing the energy and clearing the way for what you're going to be doing going forward. So it's just that's a little message from Mum. She's saying just finish it off. So can we leave you with the love of your mum, your uncles and this precious man who was in your life for so long, 44 years, that's incredible. So it's, you know, that you have a special bond with him. He's saying it's not your time yet. He's there waiting for you,
time.
But not your time. He's there waiting for you, but it's not your time yet. You've got so much more to do. So.
Okay.
You understand that?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. A lot of love coming to you. A lot of love. And thank you so much, Karen, for connecting with us.
Well, thank you so much for taking my call and talking with me.
Blessings and love.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. And Lizzie, we're almost out of time.
Absolutely. What a beautiful show. I've enjoyed that. That gentleman and all that stuff that was coming through was wonderful. It's nice when we can bring something happy, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. It is. It's beautiful. So what are you up to for the rest of the week?
Oh, I thought, did you have to ask me that question? Does work and more work come into the equation? I think so, yeah. But this is what we do. So that's what I'll be doing. And I'm also going to be a little bit more relaxing, and I'm going to listen a bit more to some of those beautiful people who give you so much information. You know, that I love Dolores Cannon, and I love Dr. Wayne Dyer, and I love a lot of people out there. So I'm going to take a little minute here and there and, you know, shut my eyes and just go with the flow and listen to see what inspires me to do next. So that's what I'm doing. And I love the healing. And so, you know, it's exciting, you know, while everything's going on in the world, I seem to be in my own little world, you know, helping those people cope with that world out there. So, hey, whatever we can do to help, that's what we're here for, right?
Yes, absolutely. I've got a demonstration of mediumship coming up on Saturday, and it's on Zoom.
Ah.
So if anybody wants to go to the arthurconandoylecentre.com, you can get an access pass for that and connect with me on Zoom, because I'm going to be doing a demonstration with other mediums from the centre, and I'm really excited and looking forward to that. So there's
who's on, Hazel? A lot more coming. You and who?
Oh gosh, I can't remember the gentleman, the other person's name, but it's myself and Mandy, I believe. And so, and
oh,
a guest
wonderful.
Medium, which,
that's lovely. Okay, I'll look for that one.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody can get there, please go. It's a great evening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Lizzie. So we've actually dropped off here now, but we're still recording. So we will shall see you all next Monday. And I don't know what the topic's going to be. Spirit will lead. I'm sure we'll come up with something. And it's just wonderful to be able to connect with our friends and all the wonderful people in the chat room as well. So thank you all for being there. And we will see you next Monday. Same time, same place.
Absolutely.
Blessings and love.
Okay.
Namaste.
Namaste, everybody. Oh, what beautiful. Okay, are we done?